Scarpins Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. This is our weekly look at the world of sports. What is happening in this week of sports?
What's funny about the world of sports?
With a great guest. And today, obviously, we're smack dab in the middle of the World Series. As we record this, I know there's a game tonight, but as we recorded, it's tied 2-2.
This could go seven games, the series. That's amazing.
The Astros no-hit them yesterday. That's the only second no-hitter in the history of Major League Baseball. Don Larsen's perfect game in 1959. We'll talk about all of that with our guest today, Gar Reyness, the batting stance guy. He's our go-to guy in terms of baseball just because he's so fun. He's such a wealth of knowledge. He just went to see the Michigan State football game.
We're going to talk about that and the craziness that happened in the tunnel
after
that game.
There, but top of show, this is, to me, one of the biggest stories in all of sports, is the whole Kyrie Irving mess. And yeah. I have so many feelings about this right now. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to a lot of talk about it. I've listened to a lot of, you know, and I thought probably the best, as is always happens, the best analysis of it came from Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Agreed.
Because they didn't care. They told the truth. They weren't trying to, like, hold somebody's hand or worry. You know, I was watching, like, Richard Jefferson, who I really love, kind of tippy-toe around some stuff, and it's like, hey, man.
Call it like it is.
Call it like it is. Like, Charles Barkley is like, why isn't this guy suspended right now? What are the Nets doing? The Nets are showing you what a shit show they are right now. What a mess.
100%.
They get rid of Steve Nash, who is a great guy, but just saddled with Kyrie Irving. You think, what is the root of all problems? To me, it starts with a guy saying, I believe that the earth is flat and it's not a joke. Because then from that goes, I don't believe in the vaccination and I'm not going to get vaccinated, even though.
So I'm not going to play in 50 games.
So I'm going to fuck our team by not playing in all these games because I believe in this thing that is weird. And oh, remember, I believe that the earth isn't flat. You draw a line to that vaccination thing and there you go right there.
Now you draw a line to him promoting a movie with anti-Semitic themes in it.
Yeah. And it's like, hey.
So this is his statement with the Anti-Defamation League. I want to read this to you because something's surprisingly missing.
It isn't just that. He was asked about it at a press conference on last Saturday night.
Doubled down on it.
And it's like, I'm not going to apologize for anything. I believe in this and I believe in this documentary. He doubled down, bowed his neck and stood up and said, I believe in this documentary. Okay. And it's like, it's Negroes to Hebrews or Hebrews to Negroes, whatever the movie is that has very anti-Semitic, ill-informed, and are we even surprised that this guy who doesn't believe in science, doesn't believe that the world is round, believes in whatever weird-ass conspiracy theories this stupid movie is putting forth?
So this is his statement. I oppose all forms of hatred and oppression and stand strong with communities that are
oppressed,
marginalized, and impacted every day. You're not standing strong with the Jews.
No, you're not.
You're not doing that at all.
The first words out of your mouth in this statement are, I'm sorry I did this.
No, I'm sorry yet.
Not once.
You fucking bitch. I'm aware of the negative impact of my post towards the Jewish community, and I take responsibility. You're still not saying I'm sorry.
Say you're sorry, dumbass. Say you're sorry.
I do not believe everything.
I don't care, and this is not about, I don't care what color you are. I don't care that you're a man or a woman. I don't care who you are or what you are. You have to apologize for this.
I do not believe everything said in the documentary was true and reflects my morals and principles.
So you believe some of it is.
I am a human being learning from all walks of life, and I intend to do this with an open mind and a willingness to listen. Still, no, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for the hurt this caused people.
So from my family and I, we meant no harm to any group, race, or religion of people.
So that's really saying we meant no harm means we meant no harm. The people who were
harmed. You took it as harm.
So that's you. That's
not even I'm sorry you took it as harm. And wish to only be a beacon of truth and light.
You're not.
So you're not disavowing this movie. Not once did you say this movie is wrong.
Right.
Not once did you say this movie is dangerous and me promoting those users
like
wrong.
What
and I'm sorry.
He needed to come out and say is, listen, after a tremendous amount of reflection, after talking to the ADL, after being educated on what certain things in this movie put forth.
I was ignorant and I'm sorry. I did a hurtful thing that's hurtful to a group
thing
of
that
people.
This thing is in the movie hurts people because of this. I now know that this thing in the movie hurts people because of this. I now know that this theory in the movie. And why is that bad? Because I've been educated and the history of this is a problem, the history of this is a problem. And I learned all that this weekend.
Kyrie Irving, you are a cancer. You are a terrible human
You're
being.
You're so bad. Anyone who ever went to Duke should be embarrassed about their diploma.
They should disavow you. Duke should disavow you.
Take down.
You ruined the Celtics. You ruined the Nets. I mean, I guess you helped win one championship in Cleveland.
If I'm in Cleveland, I'm like, we better win another one to forget about that one.
Kyrie Irving, hope we do it. You are a human cancer. You are the worst possible person because you are somebody with a mouthpiece who is dangerous, who is dumb, and you don't say you're sorry.
And millions of followers.
You're a fool.
So you should be off the Nets. You don't make the Nets good. The Nets are like 2-5 this year. You have so much talent on the team, and you're not making good. You made the Nets bad last year. You caused them to miss the playoffs. Like, zero chemistry. The teams that win, the teams that go, that do well. Look at Milwaukee 2 years ago. They were a great team built around a superstar, but everyone bought in. There's a buy-in. That's what sports is all about. That's why for so many people that there is, you can have all the talent in the world, the New York Yankees, you can pay for all the talent in the world and still not have that 100% buy-in, because for whatever reason, they're not all circling around one concept. You don't have the buy-in. The Golden State Warriors won the NBA Finals last year because they had buy-in. They all believed in the same thing. And by the way, I think Steve Nash is like Steve Kerr. I think they're two very similar coaches. And again, your BS caused this guy to have to take the fall for you too. So not only did you ruin Brooklyn basketball, you ruined a guy's coach and put a blemish on a guy's coaching record, which I'm sure you don't care about.
You ruined the end of Kevin Durant's career.
Yeah, which you've taken away his opportunity to win future championships, of which the Brooklyn Nets should by all means be in the finals.
They should have been.
But they're not because of you. You are the reason, man. You are such, again, like Jay said, you are a cancer. And the fact that you can't simply just stand up and be a man, and we talked about this on where were we when we talked about this? Maybe in a podcast, a Dumb People Town podcast. And Dan Van Kirk, our buddy, who was a doorman for years at a bar, said the strongest people were the people who got shoved and didn't fight back, just walked away. Had the dignity to just stand up and walk away. It feels like even in this apology, you're fighting back. It feels like in this apology, you're fighting to protect this movie as opposed to protect the people that you hurt. Like, if this comes from anybody, the Donald Sterling, get him out of here. The owner of the Phoenix Suns, get him out of there. Like, it doesn't matter. And again, those are two white guys it's coming from. You get them out of there. It doesn't matter. What you are spreading sucks. The message you're spreading sucks. And this apology doesn't get it done, bro. So you better come up with a better apology than that. And I'm ashamed that the NBA hasn't come down on this guy.
Adam Silver, you're a Jew. You have every right to be like, you know what?
This
personally affects me. It's not okay.
We don't allow hate speech. Like, again, I saw an NBA Cares commercial during the Brooklyn Nets game yesterday, and I'm like, how can we believe in this if they're not cracking down on people delivering hate speech out to their followers or support of a movie that delivers hateful theories out into the world, misinformation? It's ridiculous. And the NBA's got to come down on them. The Nets have to come down on them. And if the Nets do nothing, it shows you what a messed up organization they are. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, talk about World Series, talk about Gar going to, he's now been to, I believe, 2 Miami Dolphin games in the last month. He's gone to NFL games. He's gone to a
Detroit Lions game.
Yeah, he's been to a lot. So we're going to talk about all that with him. That's coming up after the break. And then later, we willed it to happen, Jay. We willed it to happen. Ozzie Guillen has gotten an interview with the Chicago White Sox. He should be the next manager.
He left us a voicemail.
Less a voicemail later on the show. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As we mentioned,
we promised, as we
prophesied, he would be here, and he is. His name is Gar Reines. He is the batting stance guy.
He is our friend. He is our close friend. He is our brother.
He's who we want to be talking to as a 2-2 World Series begins to unfold.
One of the most historic games ever played last night
as we're recording
only
this.
Only the second no-hitter in World Series, unless a no-hitter happens tonight. And only one pitcher throws it.
That's true.
A team has been first no-hitter
by committee, correct?
In the postseason.
In the history of the postseason.
The first no-hitter since Don Larson's 1959 perfect game, which can we now say, because this was by committee and because you probably, other than Verlander, he seems like the type of guy that if, now, throw away his postseason record, okay? regular season Justin Verlander.
You mean
the worst
of all time.
Right. Regular season Verlander to
me. Clayton Kershaw even thinks that he's not a good postseason pitcher.
Regular season Verlander, in my opinion, could throw a no-hit. Nine-inning no-hit.
So then this is the question that I pose to you. Would it have to be a perfect game going into the seventh or eighth inning in order for a team to leave a pitcher in, perfect game and a big enough lead, in order for the team to say...
I think there's so much pressure on the World Series.
No, but I think they would say 7-0, 8-0. We got... He's faced the minimum batters.
They were 5-0 last night.
I think there's two different issues at stake here. So number one is Christian Javier.
Amazing.
Through no hits for 6 innings, mm-hmm. through 97 pitches. Don Larson's perfect game in the World Series.
1959.
97 pitches.
Oh, he threw in the whole game 97 pitches.
Yeah, so the exact same amount of pitches. So Don Larson and Christian Javier last night, as we're recording this,
3 innings apart,
threw the same amount of pitches the arm.
You would need to have, I think, seven pitch innings.
Why didn't anyone in the Don Larson game say, start taking some pitches? Or did he just throw?
Yeah. No,
or was
he
a strike thrower?
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing is, to throw a no-hitter is very difficult if you don't get a million quick ground ball outs. Do you remember who kept throwing seemingly perfect games? Was Mark Burley. He's just like, please hit this ball. I don't care if I strike you out.
Right.
Ground out to shortstop, one pitch.
Right.
Ground out to third base, second pitch. Ground out to
That's what Pedro Martinez told me.
Shohei, Verlander, it's like guys that are like
pumping 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
3-2. I mean, Blake Snell, every batter went to 3-2.
I know.
He'd sometimes throw 100 pitches in like the third.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to be so efficient. Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Literally got killed for decades for leaving his starter in too long. I think we can.
This may be PTSD for all of that.
No, I think we can be okay with. He was not going to throw 160 pitches last night.
No. So I think 120 if you have.
But why? That still wouldn't have gotten him through the game.
No, wouldn't.
So now,
and
why
you're right.
He comes out in the eighth? That's better. Like one batter into the eighth.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, you're going to need this guy maybe in game 7.
Well, that's what's frustrating is.
Do you think they
is if you don't leave a pitcher in for a million pitches, his last game of the season, you know, yeah, I think he would be able to come back in the seventh. I don't think he'd start.
You think if he was doing long relief, he could come back in and like?
Yeah, I just think. Remember, he threw basically a one hitter in New York.
Yeah.
Already, but he was like 5 2/3. I mean,
yeah.
I just think there was this isn't like a Dave Roberts like 70 pitches in, take a guy out with a perfect game. I mean, this was. This was a bummer for us because
we're old.
Our age, honestly, I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. The second I saw Abreu,
yeah,
I left.
Because you're like, bummer.
Yeah, so I was like, I literally will stay. So I've seen a game in every stadium, mm-hmm. every current stadium.
Yep.
And I won't leave. Doesn't matter. I will never leave before both teams have gotten a hit, because the one thing I have not seen
is a no-hitter.
And not only that, I'll take it a step further, Sklar Bros.
Uh-huh.
I've never made it to 2 outs in the sixth in a no-hitter.
Wow.
I've never gotten close. Not close.
That's not close.
Max Fried had a perfect game into the sixth at Dodger Stadium.
And you were there.
I don't know if it was this year or last year. Yeah, that was that. I mean, and it was like, okay,
it's impressive.
He low pitch count. He would, and then like leadoff hitter in the sixth.
It's so
see
hard.
How hard it is.
It's so hard.
It's like having a perfect season in the NFL. Even the best teams in the world, even that Patriots team, couldn't pull it off.
I'm gonna name drop here. Do you remember Septimus?
Yeah.
Okay, so he has this daughter that's now like 15 or 16, my daughter's age. Yeah. So they move from New York, okay? She doesn't care about sports. She's 8 years old at the time.
I wonder what he thinks about. I mean, he's like...
He loves the Expos.
I wonder what he thinks about Steve Nash getting fired, but anyway.
So this guy that we know, okay, his daughter saw the Giants throw a no-hitter in New York. Uh-huh. Then they move to LA. This is all her third grade year. Uh-huh. And then she's at Dodger Stadium for the Jake Arrieta no-hitter. This 8-year-old girl saw two no-hitters, one
season. You've never seen any.
I've seen him at every stadium.
It's like catching a foul ball. Our buddy Fenton Strickland, God rest his soul.
Dad caught two hockey pucks at a Blues game. One Blues game, two hockey pucks. We've never caught a puck. We've never caught a foul ball.
We did catch a puck. That's not true. We were at the Carolina Hurricanes game. We were right behind the thing. We got a puck. But the truth of the matter is, catching a foul ball is like one of the hardest things in the world to do. Like our friend Fenton Strickland got one. You'll never get one. We've been so in the right seats to get them. I've sat with you in the right seats to get them. Yeah. We never got them.
Never.
No.
It's just so hard. It's so random and it's so hard. But
I wanted to see a no-hitter. I really wanted to see a no-hitter.
It's cool. I mean, you saw one last night, even though it was a bunch of different pitchers. It's almost like it's not – I think it's hard, and then it's hard to, like, pick up and have that intensity.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It'd be like
a 1-0 no-hitter to me is more impressive than a 5-0
but,
no-hitter.
But to me,
because
it's...
Because there's less... You're looser. You can be more yourself. Because if you do screw up the no-hitter or whatever, you're still going to win the game and it's a World Series
game. Hold on. Here's the funny thing about 5-0. So every single game... Again, we're recording this where only four games have been played. Every single game...
Has been a shutout.
A team has gone up by 5 runs.
Yeah.
So even the ones, the comebacks, like at some point, it's basically been 5-0 every game.
Game one. I mean, in
game one, 5-0. At that point, Houston had to be thinking in its head,
we're going
to
sweep this series.
We've got this series.
So when Philly comes back and wins that game, I say to myself, Philly, this is Philly's year. This is their destiny. Yeah. Just like it was the Nationals a couple years ago, and you're like, just the way they're playing, it's their year. I'm like, Philly, this is your year.
Then they get beat, and you're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Then they come out, and they jump all over.
At home, and they score 7 runs.
But they're like, is he tipping pitches? And they seem to know what's going
on. Also, what was interesting is the game within the game. They kept talking about that. Lance McCullers, like, can he go into the sixth and give their bullpen a rest?
Right.
Like, maybe Lance McCullers keeping it at 4-5 nothing. Maybe that was what allowed the bullpen to come in and do what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
It sets it up.
What's fun about that 5-0 lead in the first inning that the Astros had, or the first game?
First game.
It actually was the first inning, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Dusty Baker will always be like the Forrest Gump of Major League Baseball history. I mean, no kidding. Like when Hank Aaron hit 7-15.
He was there.
Dusty Baker's arm goes up because he's on deck.
Yeah.
And he's all excited. So the last time there was a 5-0 blown lead in a World Series type of thing.
Who was it? Can we guess? Do you want to?
Dodgers, and he was on the team?
No. Dusty Baker famously went out to the mound on what should have been the Game 6 clinching victory for the Giants in 2002. Russ Ortiz was on the mound. Dusty Baker famously handed him the ball as like a, you got us here. We're going to win the World Series. He hands him the ball on the way out. And then Russ Ortiz still to this day has it on his – I went to his house. I was like, wait, is that the ball? He's like, I didn't know what to do with it. So I have a picture of my daughter's with that ball.
So he's like, hold on to this ball because this will be worth something.
Well, no, this is the ball that, like, you got us to win the World Series right here. The Barry Bonds crazy home runs World Series. So the Angels
say – The Eckstein MVP.
So Darren Erstad, all these guys, they say they saw – by the way, I've never seen a manager hand the ball to a pitcher while he's walking out. I've never seen it.
Never. Never.
So the Angels were like – we saw that. And so the whole looking back and be like, you know what?
That motivated us.
Not on our watch.
No.
Not on this day. It's like, oh, wait, really? So
before that,
every time you weren't slighted, you were like, I'm cool with you guys.
But that was the thing that shot the
ball.
We said,
not on our watch. Now we're going to try.
He was throwing strikes, and I was like, I ain't missing this one.
So here's the thing. Like, if you're not from Houston – who is rooting for the Astros? Like the entire
make a case. This is what I want you to do for us, as you know, the rest of the country who hates the Astros. Make a case for why people should give the Astros a little chance.
All right. So let's start with Mets fans. So the Mets fans have watched the Nationals in their division,
the Braves,
beat the Astros in the World Series. They've watched the Braves beat the Astros in the World Series. They're watching the Phillies beat the Astros in the World Series.
Well, they're tied.
The Mets want the Astros to win. That's like, right. I don't want every team in our division. Yeah, right. Literally every team in their division is beating the Astros.
All right, so that's Mets fans. How can any other people who are right, why
Baker.
Do I care?
So let's go back to Dusty Baker. Okay. All right. Dusty Baker,
good guy,
is awesome.
The great, great manager.
Did he hold the record for most hit by pitch?
No, that was Don Baylor.
That was Don Baylor.
Right, Don Baylor? Am I right, Don Baylor?
That was, yeah. Or just Dusty Baker?
DB.
Lars,
Dusty Baker,
awesome.
Though, played for the Dodgers.
Dusty Baker is credited in World Series
with the Dodgers.
And he may have been one of the MVP. There was like a million MVPs.
He was credited with the first high five.
Glenn Burke.
Glenn
gave
Burke.
Him
a high five. Yeah, the first high five.
Also, the last playoff no-hitter, the last playoff, there's only been three, okay? The one we just saw last night. And obviously, Don Larson. There's only been one other one in history. Do you know who it is?
No.
At that same stadium at Citizens Bank Park. It was Roy Halladay.
Oh, my God.
In the first round, his first postseason game, he throws a no-hitter. In the playoff game against the Reds, managed by Dusty Baker.
So this guy is Forrest Gump.
Was Dusty Baker first African? He's not first African American to win the World Series as a manager.
He's never won the World Series.
He's the only
manager in history to take five different teams division win.
Right.
And he's never won the World Series.
And he's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's like a fishing, like when he tells the story, remember his 3-year-old son? He's like, he'd gotten like a cancer diagnosis and he was like, I may not live forever. So his 3-year-old son, Darren, who now is in like the Cubs organization, he's like a player, played at Cal Berkeley. Mm-hmm. So he was bat boying. Remember, he almost like JT Snow saved his life. There was like a play at the plate and this like little 3-year-old like bobbing and weaving. It's like a bobblehead.
Jersey's so big.
Yeah. And JT Snow, who has kids, is like, wait, I know this is going bad. So he grabs him when there was like a play at the plate.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if like a 3-year-old just gets in the way of a play at the plate and it just screws it up? Oh, that would be the crazy.
Yeah. I think it was like Benji Molina was like, wait, I'm going to tag out this kid. And,
holy crap.
So Dusty Baker. Number one is Dusty Baker.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, anyone from Baltimore over the last 10 years would be like, there'd be nobody cooler to win a World Series than Trey Mancini.
Right. That's right. Trey Mancini. I agree.
So there is that.
Yeah. So by the way, there's four. There's four Astros on this team.
Well, Altuve.
That were on that 2017
Bregman.
Team. Four.
Altuve, Bregman,
Gurriel,
and
Verlander.
That's it. So Verlander obviously has had his troubles. He still goes down, in my opinion. The fact that he can still throw as hard as he throws, like to me,
it's kind of like our Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan, or to me, he's basically like Roger Clemens minus the steroids.
Yeah.
That's provable. But I think he's got a different body.
Yeah, you look at his face and he's like thicker. He's got a kind of a double chin. I love it.
And we'll talk about this later because he just sold his LA house that he has with Kate Upton. We'll talk about that much later. But like the idea that he's been around for so long.
Yeah.
He's been good for so long. He's like, 4 or 5 years past Max Scherzer? Am I right? Like when did he started in?
Is he 40? Is he?
No, he's not. He's like 38. He's
how many
older.
Wins? How many wins does he have? Does he have over like 250? Look up how many wins he has. To me, he definitely has over 3,000 strikouts. Absolutely.
Yeah, just recently.
So he's
he's amazing. Kershaw's a good comparison. He's a guy who's. Regular season stats, which, by the way, same with Greg Maddux. There's a lot of people whose regular season stats don't match their postseason. And by the way, the opposite. Jim Leyritz, Lenny Dykstra, Mark Lemke. There's certain guys that play even better. Madison Bumgarner.
244 wins.
That's a lot.
133 losses. He's 18-4 this year.
This year, 18-4.
So I think he pitches at least, as we're looking at Adam Wainwright, who is now going to come back for, he's like 41, right?
That sounds right.
I do think Verlander, to me, has like Tom Brady-esque genetics about him. He could pitch, if he's 38 now, check to make sure his age, he could pitch another 4 years of effectiveness.
21 wins in 2019.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
24 wins in 2011, yeah.
If he
19
pitched
wins
four
in
more years.
Yeah.
4 more years and averaged 15 wins. That's below what he normally
And it'll be
gets.
In a good ballpark. He'll pitch in a really good ballpark because Verlander and Aaron Judge will be the two big San Francisco Giant signings in the offseason.
You think he'll be a San Francisco?
And so it'll be Verlander and Judge. And that'll be a nice addition.
So
and
if
they'll lose by 14 games to the Dodgers.
Right.
If Verlander – he may be the last guy
to win 300,
to cross 300 games.
What's so funny about that?
Do you
that,
think that or no?
What I think is
I care
that's
about
been
that.
A thing that
I care
keeps
about that.
Getting said.
I know.
And then people keep crossing the 300.
Who? Like,
who's crossed it?
I mean, no one's crossed it recently. Who's crossed it recently? I think
Randy Johnson may have been the last one.
He might have been the last one. But Randy Johnson to me is like Nolan Ryan. Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan are kind of like the same type of a guy in terms of, you know, Randy Johnson had like 4,700 strikeouts and then he.
A kid on my high school team beat Randy Johnson's record because Randy Johnson was in our high school league. Now, obviously, he's way older than us. But he went to Livermore High School.
There you go.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, oh my
God. I mean, it fits. The mustache. The mullet.
So
totally.
So modern era guys
who have hit 300, who have gotten
Greg Maddux,
355. That's
Roger Clemens, 354.
I mean,
which is a shame.
It's a shame. I actually, to me, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, a lot of that was like Maddux. You know, none of it was done at all.
Steve Carlton, 329.
Yeah.
Gaylord Perry, 314. Phil Niekro, 318. Nolan Ryan, 324.
Mm-hmm. This is modern era guys who have crossed 300.
Tommy John had 288.
Glavin, didn't he?
Didn't Glavin? I thought Glavin might have had like
Glavin had 305.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Recent.
Randy Johnson, 303.
Mm-hmm. That's only 303.
Lefty Grove. All right, so Burt Blylevin was at 287. Jim Cott was 283.
Yeah, I thought Jim Cott.
He had like 16 straight gold gloves.
Right.
Some crazy
number.
He
pitched for like 29 years. Literally, he pitched
until he was 47. Did you collect baseball cards?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you ever remember looking at Jim Cott's?
Yeah.
Because this is like before any of us had readers. Like,
and oh my God.
Big nose.
It said 1959.
Yeah, I know. And he just, I mean, it was the print was so small.
Yeah, it was like your dad's record collection as opposed to yours.
So again, I think if Verlander does.
Mike Mussina, 270.
That's close.
I mean, then you know.
He could have stayed around and gotten 300. And by the way, he got elected to the Hall of Fame. Because
he
like,
did.
It's better you just stopped and were awesome than held
right,
on
and he
for
was,
this.
And he was great. But I really do believe that Verlander goes down as like one of the best pitchers of this
entire last
20
years.
He could get to
300.
All right, so he's at 244 right now if he pitches another 4 years and averages.
It's hard. It's hard to 14. Miss any time because he missed a year with.
He did.
Zach Greinke, 223.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
It's unbelievable.
I think Sabathia had a lot.
Sabathia did have a lot. Sabathia
251, that's right. Gibson, 251. They had the same.
Have you seen him recently?
He
looks
lost
great.
A lot of weight. Yeah, he looks amazing.
Well, Andy Pettit, 256.
So all right, 2-2.
So I think Astros.
Do you think the Astros are going to win?
In your heart
of hearts, I think the Astros either win tonight and then win. Like they just go on a run. I think either the Phillies' magic has run out, but if the Phillies win tonight, I think it's going to 7. Okay, like I don't think the Phillies win tonight and then close it out in Game 6 in. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Don't say that Twitter never did anything for anybody.
I won't.
But Twitter flew a handful of us out. Us influencers.
Uh-huh, I love it.
Twitter flew a bunch of us out 2019 and to game 2 of Nationals at Astros. And
I remember
it was like Kurt Suzuki hit a home run off Verlander basically to win it.
Oh my God.
And I remember like the Astros lose a weird amount of games in Houston.
So that series.
To the World
Series. But that series was crazy. Not one game in that series was won at home.
But like they lost game 6 last year to Atlanta at home.
Yep.
And then.
So you're saying it's not the.
I don't know.
It's loud in there and the fans are crazy, but it is not.
I think it's more baseball. It's more important who steps on the mound and who is hot as a pitcher.
In the Padres and Padres Phillies series, I really felt like if the Padres were able to win one of the games in Philly, they would have won that series.
But they just.
But they never did. So the Phillies were able to knock them out. And remember, the Phillies, this is the biggest margin of difference in two World Series teams and wins.
With records, regular season records.
19. So there's never been a World Series. Now, mind you, there's usually not seven teams per division or five teams to make
it. No, but the Phillies were the 2015 Royals.
Yeah, the Braves last year.
And the 2006 Cardinals.
So I took
the best thing for baseball.
So I took my oldest to a Phillies game the last day of May this year. Empty.
Yeah.
And Joe Girardi was about to be fired like 2 days later.
That's crazy.
And it was so wild to think that.
That team. This is the same team.
The guy that threw the first pitch was Drew Robinson, who, you know, he's like a mental health, like an advocate for mental health. He tried to take his life and he like shot through his eye. There's a great 30 for 30 on it. So like he throws out the first pitch. Joe Girardi's about to be fired. I'm trying to explain to my daughter like this was like a once proud
franchise. Going in the wrong direction, right?
This is. We just have, and then we're going to go to a Yankee game tomorrow. Now that's a team.
Team's on fire. That's a team.
And it was like cut to like, oh wait, this team's going to make the world. Like a year ago, I went to a Bengals game and the Browns killed them. And it was like November. And I looked and I was like, you know who's not going to go to the Super Bowl? That Bengals team.
And they come back and they just, again, that's the beauty of sports. That's the beauty of it. And I think that is the beauty of adding these wild card teams and making three games.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Listen, the Phillies, when the Cardinals beat them in 2011, the Cardinals had no business beating them. Cliff Lee, game that
Chris Carpenter
beat Roy Halladay goes down in the Cardinals' lore.
1-0.
One of the greatest pitching battles against two of the best pitchers.
Yeah.
Cardinals somehow got a run.
Carpenter, he's another guy that his postseason prowess doesn't match.
He probably got like 120.
Yeah. But yet, in like my mind, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Same with Madison Bumgarner. When you look at his stats, it's like, wait,
he may not get
he's like Sean Manaea. But in the postseason, he's like
Lefty
Grove.
This was a great year because it was this year had so many. I think there were teams and excitement in franchises that the excitement wasn't there. Like Baltimore, there was excitement throughout the year,
that
which was
amazing.
A good. Seattle, there was excitement throughout the year. They made the postseason for the first time in a long time. To me, San Diego, like the excitement in San Diego, you've been down to San Diego games a lot. That's just a chill fan base. But like the excitement towards the San Diego team, just imagine how good they would have been with Tatis.
I would even say Phillies. I would say that game three.
Yeah.
That crowd looked bananas.
But yeah, it did. However, you remember, like, I was thinking back because I was watching the World Series game last night, and I'm like, I don't know if it's climate change. I don't know what it is. Like, I remember the World Series game three, Willie McGee in Milwaukee making the two catches, the catch over there and the two home runs.
Yeah.
It looked bitter cold.
Yeah.
There was trash blowing around the field. Now listen, it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee and Philadelphia, I think, are in the same meridian as far as like weather is concerned. There was just a crazy energy around it. Like I think about the World Series when Detroit won in the old stadium. Yeah. There was just like it was darker.
But also,
what was that?
It was you being 10-11.
Really? But like was it the coverage of it
last
as well?
Night, no. Last night was like game three.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any way McCullers was going to stop giving up homers. I mean, that crowd that never sat down.
Yeah.
They never sat down. We're in Southern California. We go to stadiums where people sit down. Yeah. Even if with two strikes they stand up, come on, let's sit down. I mean, you have people yelling down in front a lot. There was no down in front in Philly. And by the way, they were so starved. Like that fan, they kind of stunk for a while. The last time they were in the playoffs
year,
2011, every NL team had been the Marlins, like the Rockies, every NL, the Diamondbacks. Every
the
NL
Cubs.
Teams had,
the Cubs.
Oh my gosh.
The Cubs.
No,
when
kidding.
The Cubs go and you don't go, as Philly,
it was 8 years since they had.
So Philly has been this.
Well, no, 2011.
Team. Yeah, but they were in the playoffs in 2011, but they won in 2008.
So Philly has Philly has been this city. This is in a weird way. This is my impression of Philly as a city. So many times they can get to the championship and they never win. And right.
Except
they,
in 1980 or 83.
1983, and then in 2006 with the. Baseball.
2008
with baseball. All right. So that's twice. But I think about those Allen Iverson teams making it to the finals and never having a chance. I think of like Joel Embiid teams going there and them not making it.
Didn't Donovan McNabb in any reason have five straight NFC championship games?
And Donovan McNabb against the Patriots with Terrell Owens and getting close, but just not
leg
broken leg, can't get it done. So much of Philly's sort of you know, their lore is like they get there and they can't finish the job.
Yeah.
This team, in a weird way, now last night was a different note. Every game is different.
I think the series is different now.
I think the series.
Am I wrong in thinking that it's different?
Yeah, also, the Eagles are undefeated.
Eagles are undefeated, but
James Harden's in shape. I mean, there's probably like
there's hope all of a sudden.
There's probably like a girls soccer team in Philly that's awesome.
I mean, the Flyers aren't bad,
but the Philadelphia soccer team went away like for to win like the MLS Cup or something.
They were
like
Philly
is in a renaissance right now. It's a good moment for
Philly. They're stealing Boston's mojo.
Like Bradley Cooper and Miles Teller have never been more excited.
Miles Teller waving a terrible towel was, you know, or a Philly towel was great. He was really going after it. So do you think the momentum has shifted? Where do you think it sits now?
I think for sure the Phillies could win. I did find myself saying at that Buffalo Wild Wings, if Houston wins game four, they'll figure out a way to win the series.
Wow.
But I really thought if Philly just wins game four, they're going to take care of it in game five. Because again, with Dusty Baker as a manager having never won it, there's this like look that happens in your eyes when it's like you're
here
overmatched.
Here we go again.
Game three, all those home runs, I was just thinking, what are we watching? And then Astros weren't, you know. You get these narratives early on where certain guys like Yordan Alvarez couldn't be stopped, and then very quietly he was like 3 for 40. That's after right. that. He got stopped. Like a bunch of people got stopped.
I mean, he kind of had a bat
Altuve
to me.
Altuve was that way too. He's kind of flipped it around a little bit. But yeah, you've got this thing where guys are streaky. Baseball is a game of streaks, just like the NBA is a game of runs. Baseball is a game of streaks. You think about Carlos Beltran was the last Houston Astro who just was unstoppable.
If the Phillies beat Houston in this World Series, we are going to be talking about the Astros as the Atlanta Braves of this period of time, the 90s Braves of this period.
The hard part, so the deal with the Astros that's fascinating to me is as long as they keep losing the World Series, then a lot of Dodger fans that we know get to keep that hate alive.
That's right.
And that the only reason the Astros ever won the World Series is because they cheated. And they without cheating, can't win. Now, again.
And everyone who hates the Dodgers, including San Francisco fans, says the only reason the Dodgers won is because it was a shortened season.
Yeah. There's always.
Everyone's going to put an asterisk next to everyone.
That's how you
reduce the value of somebody's team.
Like the Warriors have never won a championship. If you just go on hypotheticals on who should have won. Pat Beverly wasn't in because of Kyrie. I don't know. All I know is the Warriors have four.
Yeah, they have four. And
it's hard to actually do it. And so Phillies have a great shot to win. Mm-hmm. I don't know if their pitching is good enough to come through. Like
if they have to win this game,
if Noah Syndergaard goes one time through the lineup and gets everyone out, and the Philly bullpen's great, and Sir Anthony anyone Regal from Curacao, if the Phillies win tonight and they only have to win one in Houston, Schwarber doesn't care.
Schwarbs doesn't
care. He's unbelievable.
There's a
Twitter person that made me laugh out loud so hard. The girl said, good morning to everyone. Good morning to Kyle Schwarber in like choir theater and nobody else. And it was like Kyle Schwarber in his high school show choir, like all these pictures. Like he's like a Renaissance man. He's like so strange.
He's so bizarre.
Every teammate loves him.
Oh yeah.
Remember he rolled out of bed and at 4:12 and that he's the first player in Major League history to have his first base hit of the season be in the World Series.
And
tears his ACL game two.
And it's a home run.
Yeah, and he just kept hitting and hitting and hitting.
And you realize that what a big part of that Cubs team he was.
He was huge.
He has the most stolen bases in the postseason this year.
It's insane. He's so weird and
he's so weird.
But a lot of those guys, like the
by the way, he almost doubled last night. I know he's a no-hitter, but that could have been called fair.
How about
that
the kid?
Hard hit right over the base.
Down the base. That was close.
How about the kid on Philly who's like, I hate this place.
Yeah, he's had the best comeback ever.
He owned it, and they loved him.
And they gave him a standing ovation the next day. Their center fielder who has not washed his hair in God knows how long.
Oh.
How long has it been since he's washed his hair?
Well, What would his name have to be, and what would his beard have to look like for him to be called Swamp Thing?
I mean,
his
that's
name's
what he's
Brandon Marsh.
Brandon Marsh.
What would he have to do? By the way, do you see how wet it is?
It's so
is
gross.
It wet or is it just greasy?
I think there's product in it. There's product in
my
it.
My kids don't like.
It's like he has like Brandon Crawford like to shower. I'm hair. Like,
it is Brandon Crawford's hair is clean.
Have you seen it? By the way, so I posted.
Brandon Crawford is a Pert Plus commercial.
I posted his first Angels card, which has no beard.
Oh God,
he looks exactly like Vanilla Ice.
Oh my God.
He's like a weirdly
good looking
dude.
Square jaw
with
guy.
Like two eyebrows.
Now he
cut.
Looks like if Post Malone, he looks like pre Malone.
Like he looks like Malone if Post Malone joined the cast of Duck Dynasty.
Right. But this guy is like, he's just fun. He's kind of like a
all
Charlie
right,
Blackman.
All right, let's do
yeah,
one.
Well, he's a good fielder, too, because they kind of stink at a lot of different plays. Yeah. Like Castellanos, Schwarber, Bohm.
Castellanos has made some good plays. But
right,
yes.
Well, that, yeah.
But
you're
plays
right.
That he had to make.
Plays that he had to make in order for them to win.
Because better, because Byron yeah. Buxton makes them
dude,
one standing.
By the way, we have a lot of history of watching guys play over their head
yes.
for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And then the opposite. You remember those awesome early 90s Pirates teams that were awesome, and then for whatever reason, Bonilla, Van Slyke,
Bonds,
Jay Bell, they just one week went 1-for-20,
and that was it.
And
toast.
Then one week, Mark Lemke goes like 9-for-18 with
and
four triples.
And
it's like, what are you going to do?
Nothing. What was your question?
We'll
take a break.
Well, we'll take a break. I do want to hear what you thought of going to Ann Arbor and being in the Big House for a game was, but
and the fact that you started that fight in the tunnel
was weird. That was weird that you provoked it. But the question is straight up at this point. Here we are, 2-2 in your gut. Who's winning this series? In your gut, look inside.
He said, I think you're leaning Astros. I think you are.
I'm afraid that the Astros are going to win, and I'm gonna have to kill the thought that the only reason they won was by cheating, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna have to give. By the way. Chaz McCormick, do you see the thing last night? Like half those pitchers on their team were signed for like $10,000 at a
yeah.
bucket of hot
oh,
wings.
Oh,
like
yeah.
it was,
yeah.
they're basically they've been awesome at putting together that team. Do you know Yordan Alvarez was traded for?
Who?
So the Dodgers, Josh Fields, like middle reliever. You don't remember
don't
was
don't
traded
remember.
For that guy. So like they put. I know they had a bunch of like. Awesome high draft picks that turned into awesome guys.
Yeah, it feels like the Cardinals of the early like 2000s
yeah.
when you're
Jeremy
like
Jeremy Pena went to the University of Maine.
Alan
it's not really
Craig.
Like a hotbed.
Where's Alan Craig now? Alan Craig was a guy for the Cardinals yeah. in those early years in that 2011.
Managing a big lots. What do you think?
Who knows? But I'm just saying, like he was the guy.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, where is he now?
That guy,
John Jay.
John Jay.
Awesome.
Where's John Jay?
John Jay College. He's got a criminal. He's got a criminology.
Anyway, all right. So you think the Astros are going to win? Astros in 7 or Astros in 6? They win tonight and then wrap it up in 6.
He doesn't want
to say. I'll say Astros in 7.
Okay. Jay, right. What do you think?
I think Phillies in 7.
Ooh.
I think this series is so unpredictable.
Phillies in 6. They win tonight and they win tomorrow.
I say Phillies lose tonight and then win the last two.
Crazy.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Right,
yeah, it's happened.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about briefly Ann Arbor, what that was like for you being in the Big House, how cool that was, and your incredible run of seeing like professional sports teams. Garvin Ness, the batting stance guy, is with us. We'll tell you how to follow him on the other side of this break.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Hey, Rochester, New York, or Western New York, Buffalo, wherever you are, if you're close to there. Rochester's close to Buffalo.
Home of the Webster Warriors.
Hey.
Come on out and see us. We
don't
threw out the first pitch at in Rochester.
Right. At the Knights game, right?
Oh, my
right.
God. That was
so we love those guys. We threw out the first pitch. I love it up there.
Wait, the Wings, not the Knights.
The Wings.
The Wings.
Who were the Knights? That was
No, the New York Knights were the fictitious team of
Rochester
Roy Hobbs
wing.
From
I don't know, but who
the Natural.
Or maybe the Knights were down in Raleigh,
maybe,
and we threw out the first pitch there. Either way, I love Rochester. There's a great club, the Comedy at the Carlson. We really, really need folks to come out and support
us. Yeah, we got
us.
Our buddy Nate Abshire is going to be featuring for us. He's a great comedian. These shows are going to be awesome. If you're looking for something to do, you're in the upstate New York area, please come to these shows this weekend. One Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. Come see us.
Not the, not
Tonight, next
this weekend.
Weekend.
I'm sorry, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Can I tell you a Rochester story?
Yeah.
Okay, here's how much things have changed for the Golden State Warriors. It's the only team I've ever had season tickets for.
Right.
My dad got season tickets in 1977, and then they were bad for 40 straight years.
Of course. Right.
So he thought he was the jinx because they went to the finals in 75 and 76.
That's right, they won
So we were just terrible forever, and it was awesome.
My fault.
I love that team. So I get this starter sweatshirt hoodie, blue, with Warriors on it, and then I go to Syracuse. And as a freshman, I'm walking around, people are like, no way. You're from Rochester? And I'd look around and be like, wait, what?
No.
Now, it didn't say Golden State on it, just said Warriors. Warriors. But it clearly was like an NBA. If it said Bucks, you'd be like, oh, that's the Milwaukee Bucks.
That was the Rochester was there.
So there was a high school in Rochester, and so I had 50 people while I was at Syracuse wearing that sweatshirt that were like, oh, cool, you're from Rochester. I'm from right up to – and I'd be like, no, this is an NBA team. They're like – prove it. Like, who's on the team? I was like, Chris Mullen. Do you remember he played? It's like, where are they? Like, no one knew the Golden State Warriors.
No, that's East Coast bias.
I was like, no, this is an NBA team. They're like, we would have heard of it.
Whatever, high school. That's hilarious.
I love it so much.
Hey, at Batting Stance Guy on Instagram. Follow him on TikTok as well.
So good.
So good. The stuff you're putting out is fantastic. And kudos to, I'm going to give a shout out to our buddy Jimmy Acho, who helped us get you and your wife tickets to go see University of Michigan versus Michigan State this past weekend.
What did you think about the atmosphere in the Big House?
Oh, all right. So I did a 48-hour. So for those of you that like sports, I did a 48-hour trip where I saw a Michigan State at Michigan
football
game.
Mm-hmm.
This is within 48 hours. My favorite two teams growing up somehow, it makes no sense because I grew up in Northern California, were the Golden State Warriors and the Miami Dolphins, okay? Within that little bit of time, I went to Dolphins at the Detroit Lions, and then an hour after that game ended,
Pistons.
Warriors Pistons. At Pistons.
No way!
Literally the two. And then the next night, I went to Monday Night Football. Bengals at Browns.
Oh my God!
48 hours.
You did four games.
Yes.
Oh my. Well, we didn't even talk for a moment that the that Philadelphia is playing
Houston
in basketball. Like that's happening. That's
and
happening
I think
tonight.
It's the
and it's no, the Thursday night game.
Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Oh, in football.
The Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's happening in football.
And I think Jalen Hurts from Houston.
That's tonight.
That's tonight.
That's crazy.
That
anyway,
crazy.
That's amazing.
Those
that you
games
saw.
Were
amazing.
But the Big House was
100,000.
Oh yeah,
never seen anything like it.
The
no,
energy
it's
is
so,
crazy.
So many people. It was like
they hate Michigan
State. It was, you know, what's weird is when you go to a college football game like that,
a rivalry,
and you have all the jackets you're supposed to have, but you look and it's like, wait, it says it's like 44 degrees. Why am I not cold at all? It's like there's so many
people.
People
there's so
like,
much
everyone's
humanity.
Like,
I know,
angsty and yelling,
I know.
And it's like, why shouldn't I be cold? I don't.
No,
it's so
like
weird.
It was beautiful. Well, there's just like an energy in that stadium. It's like one of the coolest places ever to see a game.
And we did okay. So the refs did a weird thing holding the players back. We were looking at it, being like, "This is really weird." Because of now, what we later find out is there's like a fight going
on. Yeah, because there were two guys who went up the tunnel early, which you know that's Michigan State is saying that you know they went up the tunnel early. They deserve it. You don't deserve to get beaten on in a way where you get jumped, like getting jumped in an alley. Like this is your tunnel. You can go up. Who knows? You maybe want to see his parents early. Maybe he want to go see his girlfriend. Maybe he had to get training.
I did notice the next two NFL games I went to the next 2 days.
The
there's
tunnel.
Like, yeah, there's different tunnels.
Right. Well, that's so. This is just the way it's done. Been done for 100 years, and there's really never been a problem. There was some shouting between Penn State and Michigan last time, and someone threw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Remember, I'm a Warrior fan, so to me, it just looked like a Draymond Green, Jordan Poole.
Oh yeah, it's just and Poole
like a practice.
Michigan.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we
Michigan
know what it's
State,
like.
Michigan. They're Michigan State,
get,
Michigan.
We know what it's like to get jumped unceremoniously.
Yeah.
But it, you know, that was insane and crazy, and those players are going to get like all of them will get suspended this year. Michigan State's season is over as far as that's concerned. They probably will not win another game this year. If they're lucky, maybe they win one, but 3-9 is not good for a guy that you guaranteed almost $195 million.
No.
Insane.
It's Draymond Jordan Poole.
Let's jump into this quickly. Okay, you can't just hit a golf ball wherever you want. You know that, unless you're John Daly. I mean, he can put it in someone's mouth in a parking lot of a Hooters and just start smacking away, and people are like, that's the best. Certainly not this woman. I'm not even going to read this article. I'm just going to explain what she did. She started hitting golf balls into the Grand Canyon.
Is that the most myopic,
you
stupid
dumb shit?
Just you thinking, oh, I'll just hit these in. This is just a giant hole for me to hit it into.
Wait, so in junior high, were you pretty like straight laced and didn't do stuff like that?
So no. I hit a golf ball. This is a grown woman. When I was a kid, I hit a golf ball late at night underneath the arch
into the Mississippi River.
Okay.
No one's there. Nobody's there, and you hit it into the Mississippi River. You're hitting it into there are animals down there. There are people down there. Like, what do you think? Where do you think it just goes and disappears?
Yeah, well, if it hits someone, do they turn around and look up?
Yell
like,
four.
Hey, you didn't yell four.
I'm not going to out anyone's name, but in junior high, if you were in Luke Fenstermacher's backyard, you would hit golf balls into either a freeway or a neighborhood.
Right? I mean, it's going to hit
a thing
someone's
you did?
Car.
Oh, my God. Well, we didn't do that, but
it is. Isn't that a Creepcore thing?
No. She was – so the general public and officials found who this woman was because she had posted on her TikTok.
That's the other dumb
thing. You
don't
hit –
take two shots and then grab your golf clubs and leave.
Yeah.
Right? Do we really say don't hit in the – throwing objects over the rim of the canyon is not only illegal, but it can endanger hikers and wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine you're hiking, then just all of a sudden a rock comes over the side from something that some kid threw.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. To me,
there's no signage down there.
No.
If you take a burrow down there, it doesn't say, like, watch out for falling balls.
It's really cool. Grand Canyon is amazing.
Watch out for falling balls.
All right. Justin Verlander, we'd mentioned before, he's been around for so long. He just sold his house with Kate Upton. For 11 point something million dollars, his Beverly Hills house to Timothy Chalamet, which that's someone that all of our kids know and like love beyond belief.
My 16-year-old's birthday cake was
Timothy Chalamet's
face and then May's face.
So that's how big and that's how hot Timothy
Chalamet
is now. We have girls.
Oh, yeah.
They think he's the hottest thing ever. He is the hottest thing ever.
Yeah.
This tells you how good Justin Verlander is and how good he's been for so long. There was a point in time when Kate Upton was as hot as Timothy Chalamet, but for the other sex. Kate Upton, and I'm sure for some gay women too, loved Kate Upton, but she was the hottest thing.
Like, yeah.
It was Kate Upton, and then Brooklyn Decker was the follow-up to Kate Upton.
Kate Upton was
the OG.
She was the OG, broke the internet with like photos of her like running on a beach or whatever, you know. Or,
Sports
like,
Illustrated swimsuit model.
She was it. Verlander is still with her.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that crazy? That
he made it last.
He made it last with somebody who was once an icon so long ago that kids nowadays don't even remember her.
Yeah.
That's how long he's been with her. You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that amazing that like he's been with somebody for that period?
But so Chalamet, our people aren't mad about it, but it is crazy expensive. And to me, I'm also like, why does this tells you, I mean, I guess Kate Upton has work out here. Why does Verlander need a house in LA?
Have you seen Kate Upton at all in the public eye?
Well, no, she's at the game. Because there's a really funny, I don't know if it was Instagram or something, but there's a guy.
How'd she look? Good?
Yeah, of course. There's a Philly guy
that's
like, my team's losing, but Kate Upton's right behind me, and she's like cheering, and he's just like, oh. Like he'll take that. If the Phillies are going to lose, let's have it be with
I'll
Kate
do it
Upton
with
right
Kate Upton behind me.
So, yeah, she's just like a huge fan of this whole Astros run. She's been kind of like the best thing about the Astros. Okay, there you go.
Okay, there's another
Kate
thing.
Upton. There's another thing.
Okay.
It's like, you want nice things to happen to Kate Upton. She's done so much for all of us.
She has, so let's help her out. But I do think it is amazing. It does tell you how, like, you know, it just charts how long Justin Verlander has been in the public eye.
Oh,
and
our kids might root for the Astros if they find out Timothy
Chalamet owns.
They will. That would be enough. That owns the house of the pitcher. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Who's the house he owns? I'm rooting for them.
Okay. So you think you're a hardo, a grinder. You, the assistant greenskeeper, are on a first-name basis. You spend more time in the pro shop than your own living room. You cannot even come close to this guy in Wisconsin who has played. This is how many golf holes he's played in the last year. I mean,
he's definitely not married.
17,820 golfers.
That's at some point.
According to Wisconsin Golf, like that's Wisconsin Golf.
Is it miniature golf?
No, it's
no.
Real
listen
golf.
To me. Listen to me.
There are whole months where you
there
can't
are
play.
Times. There are times in my life where I'm like, I just want to be playing golf today. What if I play golf every day?
No, there's a chance really he is married.
I don't know.
There's a chance he's
been playing over 15,000 holes.
She's like, no, you go play.
He doesn't want him around.
That's how awful he is as a human.
He's been playing over 15,000 holes every year since basically he was 20 years old. I mean, that's how long.
What's his handicap?
Says
Wait, you know who says this? This tells you everything. It says Brandon Larson, a bartender at Norsk and high school classmate. So you're getting quotes from bartenders about this guy. He's in our parking lot an hour before sunrise. As soon as he can see anything at all, he's out there playing. Translation, he doesn't have kids. He's not taking anyone to school.
So, or he's the biggest deadbeat dad ever, or he clearly has an obsession, and for him, it's not alcohol or food. It's
averaging golf. Nearly 48.82 holes per day in 2021. He set his sights on the mythical 18,000 mark. The joke is that I should have my mail delivered here. Is that a joke?
That's actually true. That's sad. And then also,
do you think he's funny?
No.
Absolutely.
I think he has no sense of humor. I also think that he's probably not as good as he should be.
He said he's a scratch golfer. I'm like, you should be better than scratch.
You should be negative scratch, bro.
No. Wait, are you sure it's not like a speed round? You know Eric Burns?
Oh, the guy who runs. Oh, the
The baseball player. He has the all-time record for literal quickest Guinness round, Book like of World's Record. He
60 minutes, right?
Or something. Yeah, or it was like most holes played in an hour. So let me tell you one of those things.
So my son plays basketball in Burbank, and he'll have a basketball practice that's 1 hour. I will drop him to practice. I'll quickly drive my car up to this golf course up there, this public course.
Guinness is not recognizing this record just yet.
Public course? Guinness is a beer company. I walk in the pro shop if they're there, and I'm like, can I play nine? And either they will just give me a cart, or they'll say $20. And I grab a cart, and I race through, and I play nine holes in an hour.
By the way, he wakes up, drives to Norse Country Club, plays as many holes as possible with his trusty push cart. After that, he works a couple of shifts at the local Hy-Vee grocery store and coaches the boys and girls golf teams of Mount Moriah High School, not to mention boys basketball at Iowa Grand. How does he have time for friends? Oh, he doesn't. Oh, yeah. That's right. And then he plays some more.
Who worked at Hy-Vee?
This guy.
Who else?
I don't know who.
You. Kurt Warner.
That's his story.
Is he bagging?
Nah, there. This guy's got a story. So that is, I just thought that story was amazing. We start with a woman hitting golf balls into the Grand Canyon, then we start with it, and then we end with a guy.
All right, and we'll do a great Patreon.
What if he's a liar and has like half of those?
We have the best Patreon story ever. You have to join our Patreon to hear us break down a fight between the Utah Jazz Bear and a Rockets fan. It is, we'll watch the video and break it down.
By the way, we didn't even get into the Mattress Mac. Mattress Mac starting shit with fans Philly on the way fans. Out of the Philly fans.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who spends, he bets more money than anybody else. Now, he gives a lot of money out in a good way.
Mattress Mac did more for the people of Houston than Joel Osteen.
Yeah. He's like a belligerent Mother Teresa.
Great way to go out. Right. Hey, Patreon fans, join us. Join the Patreon so you can hear this wonderful discussion with this thing. He's Gar Reines at Batting Stance G on Twitter, at Batting Stance Guy on Instagram and on
Come for the Brandon TikTok. Marsh wigs.
The Brandon Marsh wigs are so greasy, I can't even begin to tell you.
Every single one of his batting stances.
So our friends helped get him tickets for the Michigan State game.
And then Gar made a video of 18 of his favorite Detroit Tigers of all time. Every single person.
I'd say there were six of them I didn't know, and I was laughing.
Every
single
post on the listserv email list was like, this is the best post ever.
Best post ever. Best post ever. This is the best post ever.
So you gave them a gift for life.
I love it. All right, guys. We'll be right back. We got a voicemail from Ozzie Guillen. We willed it into existence. He is interviewing for the Chicago White Sox job. I hope he gets it. He left a voicemail for us. That's on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Gar Reines, you got to love him. God, I love that guy. So great. Every time. Every single time he comes on the show, he makes me happy. He's the guy I want to hear all my baseball stuff. I want to get it directly through him. Follow him at Batting Stance Guy on Instagram and on TikTok.
At Batting Stance G
on Twitter. And before we get out of here, speaking of baseball, we're going to stay in the world of baseball. Ozzie Guillen, we've talked about it. He needs a yob.
He needs a yob.
He needs one. So he left his voicemail about getting the interview for the Chicago White Sox, and I hope he's prepping for it. Let's take a listen.
Randy Anjason, this is Ozzie Guillen. I'm calling you guys because I think you know about this, but it's a national story. I am interviewing for the White Sox job, and I have been, you know, the good thing come to those that wait, and I have been waiting. I did not have a great beer before. But now I am like that pirate, gray beer or black beer. But before I was black beer. Now I am great beer or white beard. But anyway, I'm waiting for this job, and I'm the guy. I'm the last guy that can win the ring. And so I'm waiting by the phone. I'm trying to relax my nerve, and I don't know how to relax my nerve. How can Ozzy relax his nerve? I think that's going to take a little bit of a whiskey. And so I'm having bourbon. I'm having rye. I'm trying the scotch. I don't know about that scotch. It's too much smoke. It's like someone dumped their ashtray into the bottle. I don't like that. It's too much smoke for me. Because, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And when there's fire, I got an idea for the bullpen. And that's that. You're going to bring back Bobby Yanks. You can bring that guy back, because if you got an ass like that, that ass can clap. That ass don't quit. And also that ass. So anyway, I'm waiting by the phone, and I have a landline. I have a cell phone. I have a facsimile. I have the Polycom. I have what's the Microsoft proprietary? But I don't know the name of that one. I'm ready for the Zoom. You can put it on an MP3. I don't care about that. I'm ready. They say Tony La Russa, he was napping on the job. Let me tell you something. I'm not gonna nap. I'm gonna be awake and happy unless I'm upset. But I'm not gonna be upset right now. Give me a call, because I'm sitting here just eating all the leftover pizza every day. I get a new pizza because I think I'm going to be celebrating that I have this job, but I don't have the job yet. I had an interview, but I don't have the job. Give me a call.
Give him the job. Give him the damn job.
Give him the job. I love him so much, and I hope he gets it. Shout out to our great friend, Brad Morris, at Brad Morris 77. 773. Sorry. Follow him at Brad Morris 773. Follow Gar Reines. Follow us. We'll see you guys in Rochester next week. Rochester, New York. I want to see you guys come out. Very excited to do those shows at Comedy at the Carlson, and then in Alaska in December, and then in Denver at Comedy Works in the Landmark South Club. We'll be there the third weekend in January, and then in February we'll be at American Comedy Company down in San Diego. More dates to come. We'll be at Moon Tower in Austin in April. All that stuff. Punch Waterfall, and we'll see you next week. It's been like broke.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.